Coming up on podcast 1679, we ask, is Tesla's Model 3 refresh really real? We'll put the evidence together. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, we talk about GM rolling out thousands of EV chargers, how many Ford dealers signed up to sell their EVs across the US, and a Chinese VW factory going into production. But what car will it make? We'll have a guess. Stick around, those stories and a heck of a lot more coming up on the podcast today to get through. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for today, Friday 9th of December. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with some news of Mercedes-Benz opening their first EV-only dealership outside Germany. They've opened up their first dealership that sells purely electric Mercedes-Benz. It's Mercedes EQ Yokohama, just south of Tokyo. And Yokohama showroom houses five EQ models, and they've got vehicle-to-home equipment on site as well, talking about how EVs can be part of your lifestyle. Although, as far as I know, Mercedes-Benz don't have vehicle-to-grid or vehicle-to-home as a product you can go and buy. But of course, in Japan, V2G, V2H has been, well, it's been happening for many, many years because of CHAdeMO on the Nissan Leaf, all these trials that are happening around the world. And you go to Japan and they've been doing it for absolutely ages. Solar panels are on display as well, talking about sustainability. And Mercedes-Benz, of course, have a ton of models that they could be putting into. There's five EQ models in the EV-only showroom. But there's the EQA, EQB, EQC, EQS, SUV, EQS, normal. There's the EQE, normal, and the EQE SUV. There's the van. Did I mention that? Oh, my goodness. There's so many. EQG, the G-Wagon, and the EQT are currently underway as well. Some exciting things coming from Mercedes-Benz. Kind of marching to the beat of their own drum, actually. And in many ways, quietly been getting on with it, because they came with the EQC very early, and it wasn't the most efficient vehicle in the world, but beautifully put together. So it kind of lost out on all of those on-paper stats battles, the likes of which Tesla always win and therefore get a bunch of publicity. But Mercedes-Benz have quietly been getting on with things, designing cars that they want to design, things like the, you know, unique-looking EQS, and doing their own thing, which you have to admire. And actually, when you step back and take a bit of a zoomed-out view of where Mercedes-Benz are, I think that's quite impressive. EV-only dealerships, of course, are able to cater to just one type of buyer who walks in and wants to either buy an EV or learn about EV. And of course, you can stack them full of people who just talk about electric vehicles and give advice and are knowledgeable. So more on dealers in a second. Now, though, we'll talk about the Volvo XC40 and the C40. Same car, chopped off back a little bit for this update in Europe. Now, this doesn't happen. I don't think the US models are changing, because they're tweaking the single motor variants, which I don't think you can buy in the US. But, you know, I try and stay on top of what cars are available in which countries around the world. But I do make the occasional mistake, so forgive me if I'm wrong on that, but the front-wheel drive Volvos are actually going to become rear-wheel drive Volvos from now on. The single motor moves to the rear axle. In terms of efficiency, the battery gets, the same usable capacity, but they're able to get more out of it in terms of the energy out of it. So the motors can be slightly bigger, and the horsepower is a bit more, up to 235 horsepower now for the single motor. The C40 Recharge will now do 296 miles on a charge, not 270, and the XC40 Recharge 286 rather than 260. If you go for the all-wheel drive versions, they do, I think, get a bigger battery, 3 kilowatt hours more. I'm not sure whether they're changing supplier or chemistry, adding a module, perhaps, but their motors, 402 horsepower, same as before, but the C40 will now go 315 miles, the XC40 will now go 311 miles. Of course, all of those are WLTP, not EPA, because these are the European vehicles. They've actually really significantly upped the charging speed as well, the peak charging speed, from 150 to 200 kilowatts. Slight price increase as well on those, but you can place an order for those right now. They get delivered next year. First of all, the dual motor, the all-wheel drive Recharge, then the single motor is going to be made next autumn when they move that to the be rear-wheel drive vehicles. But 200 kilowatt DC fast charging, I know it all depends on the charge curve. Really impressive. Now, the long-range Mercedes-Benz C-Class is next in the news, coming from Autocar magazine, one of the magazines that I love to drop through my letterbox weekly, not always at the minute on the same day. We've got a few strikes with various industries here in England right now across Great Britain, but the Post is one of those affected. I think we're heading into a winter of strikes. What's not to love about the year 2022 heading into 23, if it doesn't remind you of the 1970s, but there we go. Unfortunately, my mags don't always arrive on the same day. Autocar, absolutely love it. They've got an in-depth feature on the Mercedes-Benz C-Class, the EQC, arriving in 2024. And the head of design at Merck, Robert Lesnick, talking to the magazine about what the C-Class will be, the saloon version, and taking the EQC name, that the current car that we know as the EQC will probably still be the EQC SUV. There'll be a reverse. It'll be pretty old by 2024, so there'll be a tweak or a mid-cycle tweak on that, and it'll look the same as the EQC, the C-Class, but there'll be the SUV version, like they do with the EQE and the EQS. But of course, by having a C-Class executive saloon EQC, proper C-Class, you go up against the Polestar, the BMW i4, the Model 3, with a direct competitor at Mercedes-Benz. And just seeing what they're doing lately, as I mentioned a moment ago, I just think that could be a really, really good car. So they've been... I was at a conference this summer and at the Move Festival, and the lead engineer or somebody who was leading the project on the EQXX, that hyper, hyper efficient car, did a couple of big record runs, doing 1,000 kilometres on its 100 kilowatt hour battery. He did a presentation and was talking a lot about how they wanted to build this car to do crazy mileage. So no battery preconditioning, no heating or cooling, all air cooled for weight saving, no high power output because it wasn't designed for power. It was designed for efficiency, had a diffuser that came out of the back at certain speeds, and then at a different speed, it would then retract in. Just really interesting chapter to listen to, because it was all about, it wasn't just sort of a vanity project, it was about what can we learn about efficiency that we don't know already, that we can filter into our road cars. So by 2024, expect some of these things to be filtering in terms of aero, in terms of weight saving, in terms of battery technology, and making lighter packs as well. And not always having the most powerful cars, although some of the Mercedes-Benz are really quick, but actually getting the most efficiency out of them. Talking of efficiency, Tesla are hands down so good at creating an electric powertrain. Well, look, let's face it, they've had plenty of practice. But here's the headline story. Are they going to bring a refreshed Model 3 to market early next year? It's been on sale since July 2017, over 5 years old, and is largely unchanged. A couple of years ago, if you are searching for a Tesla Model 3 online, you probably want to do, if you want to get the refreshed one, certainly here at least, set your minimum year to 2021, and that way you get the black trim, you get the heat pump, you get the phone chargers up front, which are get rid of that kind of very, very easily scratched gloss panel. You get the USB-Cs in the back, etc., etc. And by the way, I was talking to my buddy Richard from RSEV, who buys and sells EVs in the UK, sponsor of this podcast for a very long time. And he was saying that the price adjustments happening generally in the used car market now mean that if you do want to get a refreshed Model 3, you can do that for under 40 grand now. First time that's ever happened here. And our used prices have always been very, very, what's the word? Not inflated, but strong. Strong for EVs, particularly Teslas. But now, again, you can get a brand new one in 2 weeks' time. There's plenty of supply now, and they're making enough of them. And the used ones are no longer something that you can flip, because many people over the years, here at least, where we've had very limited supply, have bought a car, done 10,000 miles, sold it for more than they bought it for. This is crazy. So Tesla prices are behaving a bit more like other EV prices now. And so that Model 3 did get a refresh if you want the facelifted version, but there is at least one flying around California, Santa Cruz, that's been spotted by the snappers, and it hasn't just got the painted camouflage, you know, multicolor thing that cars with camo have on, but it's the proper black padding all around the front and the rear. Now, they tend to do that when there's physical shape changes. Or is it throwing us all off the scent? Well, this article says that the Teslarati website has found applications filed by Tesla with local authorities to build new tents where they currently build the Model 3, doing body fitting and light repairs. That will be broken down and then they'll have new tents. And I say tents, of course, it's a bit of a joke with Teslas that they're built in tents, but these are, you know, these are big sprung structures. But either way, it worked very well in the past. They're doing it again. And does all this mean that there is a new Model 3 on the way? Or is it 2 and 2 equals 5? And we don't know. There's a lot of speculation here, but is it really real? Well, we see they're making changes to Fremont, where the 3 is made. We've seen this test car, or is it just a one-off car? I mean, it is possibly just something that they're playing around with, because on this test car, the pictures did show cameras in the headlights, or in the headlight module. There were forward-facing cameras. Now, of course, Tesla pretty much will live and die on whether they can deliver full self-driving. I mean, Elon Musk has said it himself. Like, they have to deliver autonomy because they've been saying for so many years it's 2 weeks away. So they must deliver on that. So is this a restyle purely for that, or is it a new look front end? And if you do get a new look front end of the Model 3, well, you'd have to do the Model Y at a similar time, wouldn't you? Then again, the Model Y is eclipsing the Model 3 in terms of sales because everyone wants the SUV styling. So what do you think? I'd love to know. I don't want to, you know, there's a lot of people declaring this as a done deal. I'm on the fence trying to put the bits of information together for you on the podcast. I'd love to know what you think on your opinion coming up. We'll talk GM and Ford and Nissan Leaf getting a smaller battery. Not by much. Stick around, those stories and more on the way. Now let's talk General Motors moving ahead with their plans to install up to 40,000 EV chargers. These are what, level 2 chargers, so J1772 plug, I'd call it the type 2 plug over here, so, or slow charging, as you may want to call it, but in other words, not DC fast charging. These are going to go in places where you stick your car for a couple of hours or more, so venues, parks, shopping districts, things like that. 1,000 GM dealers have signed on to install as many as 10 chargers per dealership, writes CNN.com. Many GM dealership owners are independently owned businesses, have more than one dealership. The chargers won't be installed all at dealerships themselves, but through the local areas. And the dealerships themselves will select the locations to place chargers where they think is most appropriate in communities. Local contractors will maintain the chargers, says CNN. In terms of where they go, I think that's eminently sensible because local dealers, local businesses know it more than somebody coming in from a central office going, well, look, there's a grid connection here, so we're going to put chargers here. And everyone might say, but that's not where we leave our cars. And so it makes sense. Local dealers are often part of the community, embedded in communities, often part of, you know, community life as well in terms of fundraising and just being a part of people's day-to-day lives. And so dealerships, as any local business, I think take their social responsibility, some of them do, quite seriously. And so putting the chargers where they're meant to be or have the most impact is good. In terms of local contractors maintaining the chargers, that's a big unknown, isn't it? I mean, that's my biggest bugbear is charger reliability. And that does count down to charger maintenance. Some are good, some are bad. We'll have to wait and see. Talking of dealers, Ford are next in the news. Two-thirds of those Ford dealers that were given the option to sell EVs took Ford up on the offer. Some time ago, back in September, the Ford head honcho stood up at a conference and said, if you want to sell Ford EVs, he was telling all the dealers at dealership conference, then you're going to have to commit to putting chargers into your dealerships and training your staff. And if not, we won't certify you and we won't sell you EVs. You can still be a Ford dealership. Obviously, there's contracts in place and dealerships, like I say, very strong, very, very strong association in the US because of the way the laws are written. So, hey, you can still sell Fords, but the mothership, as it were, won't sell you EVs. So that was their way around it. How many took them up on the offer? Two-thirds, less than I thought. I thought maybe it'd be 80 or 85%. But of course, it's expensive to put these chargers in. Of the 3,000 franchise dealers that Ford has, 1,920, 1920 signed up to plans. Part of that plan as well was that you would list your car online and that anybody in the United States could find the EV they wanted to buy and buy it online. So Ford wanted to take away dealer haggling because they thought in EV world that Ford buyers, didn't want to play the game of walking into a dealer and not knowing, am I going to get a good price, a bad price? And so that was part of the deal as well. And so obviously, that's a big change for many dealers. And so to sell EVs, they had to sign up to that no-haggle pricing, listing it online. I imagine, I don't know, I think there'll be some sort of central portal at Ford.com, and you put your, wherever you are in the US, you put your vehicle on there, and that's the price you're selling, and there'll be a variation of prices. And some people will pay more because they want to buy local, and some people won't mind driving halfway across the country to save a few bucks. So dealers had a choice of being of two tiers, either the certified tier or the elite tier. The certified tier I didn't think was worth it because it was going to cost you $500,000, and have a car charger there. You might as well be the elite trim, the elite certification. That was going to cost $900,000. But then there's more chargers. They're public facing. There's staff training. But that's per dealership. That's a big, big investment for any business to foot. Now, battery changes are happening at Nissan with the Leaf. Now, the Ariya is on the way. The Ariya is here, actually, and it's not replacing the Nissan Leaf. But the battery just got a bit smaller in the Leaf, down from 62 to 60 kilowatt hours. The biggest change in that car since about 3 years ago when the Plus came out and it introduced the 62 kilowatt hour pack. EPA range therefore dips slightly. 212 miles for the SV trim for the 2023 model year Nissan Leaf. They told Green Car Reports that there's actually battery chemistry changes inside the battery, which accounted for why it got smaller. But what that allows them to do is to continue to sell the vehicle, they say, to maintain the great value with minimal impact on range. I wonder if they got a better deal on batteries or just updating that so that they're using the... I don't know what they haven't said what's inside the new smaller battery pack, but you can get that Leaf from $37,000 or so for the big battery one, or $29,000 for the small 40 kilowatt hour battery, and it's eligible for the full federal tax credit if you get your wriggle on and get one ordered before the end of the year, I believe. Or was that, did that all disappear the minute Biden put pen to paper a couple of months ago? Now, let's talk a little bit about VW Anhui, which is their Chinese joint venture, one of them at least, the VW-controlled joint venture with JAC. They've got a new factory. I mentioned it yesterday, funnily enough, and they began building it last summer. It's now complete, 18 months from beginning to end. Going to build MEB vehicles there. The Hefei Daily reports that they don't know what the first model is, but it could well be the Tavascan I mentioned yesterday, which is going to be Cupra, their version of the ID5 and ENIAC, etc. Seems a little soon for it to be that vehicle. That vehicle's only just been announced and revealed, but maybe we'll wait and see. Now let's talk a little bit about falling battery prices. One of the most consistent trends in the EV industry over the last decade was the fact that batteries will get smaller, according to Automotive News. Prices dropping from $1,000 per kilowatt hour to $141 per kilowatt hour last year, they say, naming Bloomberg NEF's data. They say that the lithium battery price had a 7% increase over the last year. And that's interesting because they name $141 per kilowatt hour as the price of a battery. The average battery price would have been even higher had it not been for the popularity of lithium iron phosphate, LFP, batteries going into vehicles. And that's interesting because multiple times I've seen particularly the Chinese EV makers talk about how they're now shipping LFP cells or LFP batteries, at least at pack level, for $70, $75 per kilowatt hour. And I'll try and dig that out because consistently I've seen this research saying, oh, as soon as it comes below 100, I thought that happened a long time ago in China to get it below $100 per kilowatt hour. Now, hey, by the way, the people that put this data together looked at 200 data points from buyers and sellers of lithium-ion batteries, from the EV industry, bus industry, storage industry. The headline figure is a volume-weighted average, they say, so it hides variation. So it could be that I'm right in terms of maybe the BYD Blade batteries are cheaper. I'm sure I've seen car companies talking about how they've hit $70 per kilowatt hour at pack level. So I'll dig into that because that seems very, very high. But hey, they've studied the data. and I do an EV podcast. They're probably right. I'll keep an eye on that. Now, California, for the second year in the row, is the leading state for clean energy standards and efficiency, according to Tuesday's report named here by usnews.com. The authors of the report point out that the most stringent rules in the country for light and medium duty vehicles have now been adopted by 17 states and Washington, D.C. One of the examples of how California is leading the way in fighting climate change by putting clean cars on the road. The company developing extremely fast charging batteries, StoreDot, have been having their batteries independently tested and validated by SDLE, who looked at their 30 amp hour pouch cells, their batteries, and put them through a series of tests with commercialization in mind, of course, of these. And they confirmed the fast charging and high energy performance of StoreDot's batteries. If you remember, their plans are to deliver 100 miles of charge in 5 minutes of charging. And that's by 2024. And then that sort of goes up on a scale as well, up to delivering 100 miles of range in 2 minutes. Now, finally, a little weekend watch for you heading into the weekend, and that is a rare interview with Tesla's chief designer, Franz von Holzhausen. It's a good 15, 16 minutes, this. CNBC sat down with him at the Peterson Automotive Museum. He didn't really dodge any answers, actually, as people high up in companies tend to do. Talked about what it's like designing the S, the 3, the X, and the Y, Cybertruck, Semi, and next Roadster, which could be coming one day or never. But he did talk about the Roadster by saying it's the car I can't talk about, but it is his favourite one that he's worked on. He points out that working for Elon Musk is a bit of a ride because he's so driven and motivated, but he says that he's proud of everything they've done at Tesla, really changing the automotive industry and leading the way in electrification. He talks about the Cybertruck moment with the glass shattered and lots of other advice for kids getting into automotive design. It's really, really good. He comes across as such a nice guy as well, but he doesn't sort of dodge anything. They ask him, you know, what's Elon Musk like? And he's like, yeah, he's just like, just full on, and it's great, and it just drives us all forward. So stuff like that I thought was really nice, actually. So that's your podcast for today. Question of the week, taking a break for a while, but it will return along with our Saturday special interview series as well. I think next week we will be talking all latest things in terms of how to get an EV on your driveway in 2023, the most cost-effective way of doing that, as we talk to one of our recent sponsors, LeasePlan Electric Moments. And no, they're not just flogging leases. Really, really fascinating interview that I've just finished recording, and so I'll get that turned around for next weekend, I think. Thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, Octopus Electric Universe, Global Public Charging made simple. You've got one map and one app, Milbrook Cottages.co.uk for your five-star luxury cottages in Devon. And I mentioned LeasePlan a moment ago. LeasePlan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance that EV drivers need. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.